Lord, we thank you for this night, the night where you shared with your family. May we hear your voice and know your presence that we might become your family. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what kind of things run through your family. What kind of family resemblance do you see in how the members of your family look? Do they all share a similar kind of nose, or maybe, thankfully, not many of my children have my hairstyle yet, or maybe it's the colour of your eyes? As we look around our family members, we can see the family resemblance being passed down from one generation to another. So often we can see the physical traits that we just don't notice the other traits that can run in a family. There might be attitudes or occupations. These things can be seen also. Jesus knew the power of family. And what we hear in tonight's gospel reading is him constituting a new family by sharing something with them, by sharing a meal. Jesus isn't giving them something new. He's recalling something old from the past, from the Passover. And so tonight I just wanted to reflect a little on what we hear in Exodus and how Jesus takes these themes up to create a new family with a new covenant and a new purpose in the world. The story about Exodus is all about family. It's the family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their journey with God. It's a family that began in freedom, but through famine and through circumstance, they find themselves living in slavery within Egypt. People stand on a precipice. God is about to act. Will the family be free? After 400 years, will they finally be able to leave Egypt? To make sure, God gives Moses a ritual that they are to pass on to all their children and their children's children. The story of Passover. This is all about family and how they might become God's family. This is the nature of remembering. Remembering the Jewish world isn't simply about thinking of past events. It's recalling it in the present. So by doing it together, the family might enter a whole new future. That's what Passover is about. The family sits around the table and recalls what God did in the past. Why? So that the family might enter a new future together. That's what Passover does. It's not simply about what happened a long time ago with Moses. It's about what God will yet do and accomplish through the people now. This is what Passover does. It's celebrated at the same time every year, not in the great and grand temple, but around the kitchen table with the family. They are to celebrate with a lamb prepared and cooked in the same way. And if the household is too small, they're to invite their friends and neighbours over. Why? To be family. The family are to eat it in the same way. Everyone is to be dressed as if they need to rush out the door at a moment's notice. This is when freedom comes. They have to be ready to move. How? As a family. Of course, what's good for the Israelite family is bad for the Egyptian family living next door. Because while the Israelites get to live, the Egyptians lose their firstborn children. This journey out of slavery and into freedom, comes at a terrible price. The only thing is, Israel did not become a family. Those who didn't measure up were kicked out. People who lost their way were shown the door. Rather than discover freedom in the new land, Israel's leaders locked the people in their past so that there could be no future. And so on this night, Jesus does something different, something familiar, but something which takes them in a different way. His disciples gather as a family for a meal. But rather than start with a slave washing their feet, Jesus is the one who picks up the towel and basin. As their rabbi, these disciples were expected to learn and imitate from Jesus. They were expected to become his family. They'd been through quite a journey together, Jesus and his disciples. They'd gone through good times and they'd been through hard times. They were a very diverse bunch, this group of people. They were from different families. They had different occupations. They had different political commitments. They had different expectations and different aspirations. There were men and there were certainly women there that night. Some had faith, many had a lot of doubts. Some were strong to the end, but before this night was over, many would run away. But all of them were brought together as Jesus' family to break bread and to share in this moment with him. This is why the news that someone would betray Jesus came as such a shock. They had been with him for years. They had been with him through good times and through bad times, and now the news that one of them would betray them was almost incomprehensible. The one who would do this was no stranger to Jesus. But it would be someone who would share in the most intimate act possible. Jesus would break bread, dip it in oil, and give it to him personally. Jesus wanted his disciples to be different. He wanted them to be a family. This is why he says in verses 34 and 35, "I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." What makes Jesus' disciples different is that they share his character. The truth of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus is all conveyed through this action, by loving one another. This is the litmus test for authenticity among disciples. It's not their knowledge that counts. It's not whether they dress in the right way. It's not that they celebrate the meal at the right time or have it all prepared in the same way. No, it's simply this, that they love one another. That they love each other as a family would love each other. And because we get love so mixed up and bent out of shape, Jesus showed them what love looks like by taking up a towel and a basin and washing his disciples' feet. He's not bathing them. He's purifying them. It's not the water that purifies them. It's the receipt of love from Jesus. That's what purifies them. That's what changes a person from the inside out. Judas received the water, didn't he? But on the inside, he was not purified. The one who betrayed Jesus did not receive what Jesus had to offer. So that while the others were able to imitate Jesus by opening up their lives and loving one another, Judas went out and did something different. as Jesus' disciples, we are called simply to love one another. And we can only do this by staying centered in Jesus, by loving as he loved. This is why I think Paul tells this story of the meal that we as family share with each other and with Jesus even still. This is the meal of the new covenant, the meal that brings us all together. For as we take the bread, we share in the life and the ministry of Jesus. All his hope and healing and redemption story, that's what we share in. When we drink the cup, we share in Jesus' death. We remember his whole life and how it was characterized by violence and injustice, and we share in that too. We remember the Lord's death until he comes. That by being raised, God overcomes all of this suffering and death through the life and the renewed life of Jesus. And by being invited to eat and drink, we share that. We too pick up the family resemblance. We too pick up the call to love one another. So by letting ourselves be washed, by picking up the bread and the wine, we open up our lives to the love and to the presence of God. What that means is that wherever we have been, whatever our past, none of that matters, because God will take us into a new future with Christ as we remember his life and his death. We become transformed. We begin to resemble Jesus and his family. We become able to love a little more, to be open a little more, to bring love and joy and peace into this world a little more. And that story, that transformation, all starts tonight with a little water, a little bread, and a little wine. So let's come together as Christ's family and learn to love each other more deeply than before. Amen.